Get ready, Columbia. Soda City Comic Con 2025 is turning up the heat this summer. It all goes down August 23rd and 24th at the Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center, and the guest lineup is already packed with fan favorites. Let's start with Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah.
Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica and Bo-Katan Kreese from The Mandalorian and Clone Wars. She's a sci-fi icon and one of the coolest people to ever wield a blaster. Then there's John Heder. The man, the myth, the Napoleon Dynamite. From Blades of Glory to Surf's Up and everything awkwardly hilarious in between, he's bringing the signature charm to Soda City. And rounding it out, we've got Caitlin Robrock, the incredible voice of Minnie Mouse in Mickey Mouse Funhouse, Minnie's Bowtie Tunes, and many more. She's also voiced characters in Agrisuco, Amphibia, and Mr. Pickles, a true animation powerhouse. They'll all be there, signing autographs, taking selfies, and meeting fans all weekend long. And this is just the beginning. Even more celebrity guests are being announced. So keep checking SodaCityComicCon.com. For the latest updates, guest lists, ticket info, and VIP perks. Make your summer unforgettable. Grab those tickets and come celebrate all things pop culture at Soda City Comic Con.
What's up, everyone? Thank you for tuning in. We have yet another episode. I feel like I always say we have a lot to say, but no, honestly, we have a lot to say. There's always a lot to cover. And
are there things going on in the world right now? I didn't know. I had no idea.
My gosh. So we're hitting strong to episode 6. But I do want to say just a quick trigger warning. If anybody is listening, I do want to tap in real quick because what we are going to be discussing today is a very heavy topic. So I just want to go ahead and throw out there that little trigger warning and then we're going to proceed. So outside of that, how is everyone doing? Kirsten, how you doing? You doing good?
Tired, but I'm good.
You hanging in there? Am, how are you?
You know, being in New Jersey and being a little bit farther removed from some of the chaos is kind of refreshing.
Absolutely.
If you hear extra noise, it's because I'm, you know, just in a different setting than I normally am. My dog's over here. He's definitely chewing up something he's not supposed to, but I'm not about to get off camera and yell at him. So
right.
It's going to be what it's going to be.
This is live, people. I feel like the hardest questions is like, how are you or what you've been up to? I feel like those are those questions where you're like, what have I been up to? How much time you got? Where should I start? Like, don't ask questions you don't want the answers for.
Yeah, when's the last time we recorded? How much has happened since then? Right.
I know. So speaking of, Em, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to pass it to you. Open us up.
Okay. So like Erica said, a lot of content warnings to today's episode. Lots of things happening in the world, all of them each horrible and triggering in their own way. I want to start at the jump acknowledging the Supreme Court ruling that came out. We are recording on Wednesday. It came out just this morning. The Scrimeti case, which is the transgender healthcare ban from Tennessee. And the Supreme Court in a 6-3 vote upheld the ban, said it was constitutional, did not violate the Equal Protections Clause, which is devastating. Here in South Carolina, our ban that went into law last year is actually even more extreme than the one the Supreme Court just heard.
That's crazy.
It doesn't just impact kids. It also impacts adults and adults, people on Medicaid and public health insurance plans and all extra pieces. So that doesn't mean that our fight is over and we're going to continue to keep going for justice. We filed in South Carolina, the ACLU of South Carolina filed a case in the federal courts to challenge the law, but it was on hold pending this decision. So now that this decision has come through, we hope to see that continue. But just wanted to start off the jump and just acknowledge the pain that folks are feeling. We know how frustrating this Supreme Court has been, and continues to be.
Exactly. Clock it continues.
Yes. And you know, honestly, I wasn't expecting a court decision today. Normally they keep their most controversial decisions for the end of their sessions. And there are still 2 more weeks of decisions after this. So I was unprepared for a 10 o'clock decision on this one today. But you know, we keep fighting, we move forward, and it is what it is. But you know, that allows me to segue kind of really sadly, easily into the other news out of our state and our General Assembly this week, because the man who started the Freedom Caucus, who are the reasons that we have this gender-affirming healthcare ban to begin with, RJ May, the representative out of Lexington, House District 88, he was indicted on 10 counts of content trigger, all the things warning of, there's like a more legal term for it, but I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to pretend to be a lawyer, but like child pornography, and crimes against children that relate to sex. And so these are 10 charges. Again, we use that word allegedly when Erica was talking about city council. Yeah, I feel like that's going to come up a lot. But so I wanted to hear from you all, like, what did you know about the situation beforehand? What do you know now? Like, what questions do you have? Not that I have the answers, but since I'm more in touch with the state legislature, maybe I can shine some light on some things. So throw your questions at me about that one.
Carissa, do you want to talk? I feel like I've been talking a lot.
I don't know. I mean, I've probably a lot of questions, but I didn't know anything about this before, like, all of this broke. I don't pay a ton of attention to state legislators unless it's here in my area. So I didn't really even know. And then I read the, I don't know, was it the indictment or what was the really horrific one that shared just like, I don't know if it wasn't even all of the horrific videos that had been sent, but it was just like some of them, and that was horrific enough in and of itself. It's just horrifying that there's people out there that want to view this, because it's just like, this is disgusting.
I think it's interesting because we all have the, you know, 24 hours of the day. Like, you know, we all have, but it just amazes me what people choose to do with their 24 hours, because one is not like the other, okay? Like, it's just mind-blowing. And I feel like that we're all aware that these things, you know, happen, but it's just the craziness of who is being involved in this is just mind blowing. Because when I think of like what, you know, someone messing with a child, it's like, I picture just not an elected official. Okay. I don't just start from there, you know? And so the fact that this is
an elected official from the Freedom Caucus, the family values, like, oh, I didn't realize those were family values.
Like what?
Not my family.
Right. Like, this crazy.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I didn't need to read the court documents, but I did.
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Oh, all because of those pages.
I read it too. What?
Easily the most disturbing 22 pages I've ever read in my entire life. I think the article in the state newspaper did a really good job summarizing it. I could have just left it at the summary from the state, but I took it upon myself to read all 22 pages. And oh my word, like you said, we know that there are bad people out there, and we know that the dark web can be a super scary and gross place. You don't ever expect it to be somebody you have any sort of connection with. Like, I don't associate with RJ May. He and I do not have anything in common, but like,
you dude, hold we work out of standard.
This is like it's an embarrassment on our state. It's an embarrassment. Like, it's disgusting. It's like, I'm ashamed. And I just want to know, like, how these legislators who work alongside of him feel, because they actually know him and, like, have spent time with him. And, like, did you have any inclination?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, no, got some questions about that.
Right. And if I was him, I would start pointing them out if there's other people. Because what? Who have you been distributing it to, sir? Point them out. Go on.
Yeah, it's not just that he was in possession of them, right? Mm-hmm. It was that he was distributing mm-hmm. these videos.
And call them out.
And when we say minors, y'all, like, not just like, I mean, any minor is horrendous, but we're not talking 16-year-olds.
Right.
Like, we're talking...
We're not talking a consenting, you know?
No, we're not talking about anyone who even
can... They don't even know the concept.
I was about to say, they may not even know their body parts yet. And, like, these are the victims of this crime. And, like, I am just, like, truly, utterly, like, disgusted, speechless. Each of the 10 counts has a minimum of 5 years in prison, a maximum of 20. So we'll let that process play out. But thankfully the judge who first heard his arraignment denied him bail. They were like, no, no, sir, you are a threat to your community. You have children that are the age yeah. of the kids in these videos. And I don't trust that you're not going to run away to some country and we're not going to be able to get you back from there.
Yeah.
Kudos to that first judge. We'll let that legal process play out, but like, yikes.
Yeah, good first step at least.
Yeah. So speaking of state legislators and all of that and how lucrative of a job it is. Mm-hmm. People think maybe it's more important than it is. I don't know what people think. But there was a lot going on this weekend in the world, and I know we're going to get more into that in a minute, but in Minnesota on Friday night, late Friday night, like basically Saturday morning, there was an assassination. I mean, there's no other term for it than on the Speaker of the Minnesota House. Melissa Horton is her name, and her husband Mark, and their dog.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that
was a dog.
Really sad.
Yes. What? She was like, she was really big into like rescue and like rehab dog, like all of that stuff. Like if you read about her, she was an incredible, incredible person. But so y'all look this up because it's crazy. We were talking about it in our text chain. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy showed up at the door dressed like a police officer, but with this like fake
rubber mask.
Rubber mask face thing on. And he knocked on the door and identified himself as a police officer. She let him in. And she and her husband and her dog were all assassinated. They have two kids. The two kids have put out a statement just thanking everybody for their love and support.
Terrible.
And additionally, in that same, I don't know, moment of chaos, he also went after one of the state senators and his wife. And from my understanding, they took multiple bullets and they both have miraculously gone through surgery and are in recovery and are expected to survive. But like 7, 8, 9 bullets that they took on, like, I'm like, this is really messed up. And then this guy like disappeared for 2 days.
Well, I heard that, let me just add a tidbit before you go off or continue. I heard that he attempted to go and assassinate some other elected officials, and for whatever reason, it didn't work out.
Yeah,
so that's how these people, but it was like there was people before the people.
Yeah, he went to like one or two other houses, and I guess
my
people didn't answer the door.
Right.
Or, I mean, it was the middle of the night. Maybe they were sleeping. Like, come on. But so, yeah, he had like a whole manifesto of people he was going after, including U.S. representatives. U.S. senators, Planned Parenthood locations. So, I mean, and there's already like a ton of speculation about this guy. There's video of him in like this uber conservative church, saying, you know, all of the buzzwords and trigger words that you would expect, somebody in those settings to say. But I mean,
it wasn't also a trans.
Correct. Not a drag queen, not an immigrant.
I'm just saying.
Correct.
Just want to throw that out there.
But so for 2 days, I mean, I was like, what do you mean you can't find him? I don't understand.
I found him super close. Like, I kept thinking, I'm like, yes! Dude is out of state. Like, it's
You said he's gone.
No, I was like, he's never coming back.
Howdy. And I'm like,
yeah. I was like, you're never going to find him. He was found in a cornfield.
Ciao.
But they also found his wife in the in-between. And when they found his wife, she had a car full of guns and money and passports. So, like, what did she know and when did she know it? Because you've got passports and money. Where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
But so...
Like, yeah, but your spouse knows if you're planning some weird stuff like that.
You would think, wouldn't you? You would think. I mean, granted, like, there's spousal immunity. She doesn't have to testify against him, but, like, maybe to save her own butt, she should.
I feel like...
Allegedly?
Yeah. Allegedly.
I got all the legal stuff.
Justin was planning something like that, I would know.
Allegedly. But, yeah, I mean, the whole thing was just so wild and unexpected. Like, when I saw that headline, I think, Kirsten, you put it in the chat first. I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, what are you talking about when assassinated? And, like, we had just seen Tim Walz. He was talking about how happy people are to live in Minnesota. And
right behind Hawaii.
right behind Hawaii. And how, you know, there's barely a Democratic majority in their state legislature by one seat. And so part of me, conspiracy theory, is like, well, is this guy trying to, like, break? That's just where my mind automatically goes. Well, I don't know. I'm a psycho like that.
No, I mean, I think that's a very valid place to go, because if you're an extremist, you want more extremists in power. So, and you want that majority. So,
yeah, it's been horrendous. And, like, my thing that I wanted to bring to y'all on the topic is, like, what message does this send? Like, mm-hmm. In 2025, we are at this point politically that, like, I can't even say people are disagreeing. Like, I don't know that these people even really knew each other. I wouldn't say it was a disagreement. But, like, some person's personally held beliefs are so strong and in conflict with somebody else that he is like, this is the appropriate step to take. To mm-hmm. go in the middle of the night in this disguise. And not just murder her husband. Like, he had nothing to do with it. And
neither did the dog. I'm just saying.
Neither did the dog. But as somebody who lives a pretty public life doing the things that I do, like, my husband didn't sign up for that. Like, it makes me feel some kind of way as, like, how are we supposed to recruit people to run for office? And it's already hard enough. And then you're going to be like, oh, yeah, once you're elected, people might try to assassinate you. Like, I don't even know, like, how to, like, make that conversation. Like, that's a legitimate thing now. Like, I don't want to say that it's not. I don't want to diminish that. So I don't know. What are y'all thinking about it?
I think people are trying to force this norm on us. And it didn't start until... I want to say Trump, but Trump and his minions. So I can't even solely say it's Trump. No, it's the people who are supporting that this is okay. And as I'm watching, you know, this just unfold, it's like, it's a political, you know, decision. This ain't nothing else. Like, don't try to water it down. Don't try to sell me the dream. This is something dealing with that this person was specifically a Democrat and had an opinion that did not align with the assassin. But regardless, people, this is, don't force this to be the reaction no, we can all agree to disagree, but this is extreme and we got to say what it is. And that way we can accordingly, like, address it and fix it. But no, everyone's trying to make this narrative that this is how America. No, this is not America. Like, this is wild. Like, no, I don't want to, like, be in this timeline where, like, this stuff is, like, live. Like, it's more things you can't do than you can actually do. Like, it's just crazy. The simplicity of just jogging, the simplicity of going to a grocery store, the simplicity of going to a church. Like, this is crazy. Like, I can't be the only one. I can't be the only one that feels that this is wrong. And not only is it wrong, but chooses to do something with it. Like, it takes a village. We all have to be proactive in these moments and stop, like, trying to make it normalized. Like, no.
And I think, you know, what really gets me is, like, you look at how extremist and violent, like, the right wing has become, because you don't see Democrats going after Republicans like this. I mean, I can tell you so many. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's situation, her husband getting attacked, the plot to assassinate and kidnap Gretchen Whitmer.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bunch more in my head that now I can't think of, but it's like,
but that's one too many right there.
Right. These Democratic.
Yeah. You
know, because me, I'm like, I hate Donald Trump. Hate mm-hmm. him. But I have never for a second been like, you know what? Let me end this man's life. No.
That part. I have
not even
never,
hurt, not physically.
I've never felt that I have disliked somebody so much, either in my personal life, my political life. My political life, I'm like, I sit in a pretty high place of privilege. I hold a lot of progressive views because I just care about people. But like me personally, I can still access what I need to access, right? So, yeah, like, if you want to, like, come at me and have that debate, like, go ahead. Like, I can hold my own. I have no problem with that. But, like, even in my personal life, I have never had such a conflict with somebody that my thought is, let me wipe them off of this planet. Like, how psycho do you have to be, allegedly, to have mm-hmm. done these things?
Right.
And it's like, you know, people are saying, right now, like, oh, the Democrats need to fight harder, they need to fight dirtier, they need to do all this. I agree to an extent, like, yes, we are playing it very, very safe on a lot of things right now. But then I also see how far the other side is taking it and realizing that it's resulting in people's death.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, but we don't need to go that far. And the thing that really gets me is, like, after the Donald Trump attempted assassination, and I'm going to put that in quotes because as more time goes on, I have more and more questions about it. His alleged attempted assassination over the summer. The first thing I saw was Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania, Democrat, saying no room for political violence in my state. I saw Joe Biden say no room for political violence in our country. I saw Democrats at every level of government condemning an attempted assassination. And yet Republican U.S. senators are like tweeting about it being a joke. And I'm like, this is why we're in the position that we're in right now.
Exactly.
Like, you are empowering and emboldening people who hold these stances and the mindset that this is an appropriate reaction to then act on that. Like, it's terrible because it also paints Republicans in a bad light. Like, not all Republicans, not even all MAGA, are people who are going to come to your home and assassinate you, like, allegedly. But the fact that you can't even condemn it, I'm like, well, do you agree with it? Like, are you okay with that kind of behavior? That's a huge problem.
And speaking of huge problems, let me segue into my section because building this layer up, man. The train has left the station, so we are here. So the next thing that we are going to talk about is recently there was a No King's Day protest, and it coincided with Trump's birthday. So if you have watched the news, you would have saw the protests all across America, pretty much. Not just America. As I was scrolling through social media, I was seeing other countries like leaving comments about how proud they was and how they were like in support. But it's the layers of this story that is the conversation, is the fact that it landed on Trump's birthday, but it was him having the army, you know, do a parade walk.
Yeah, because it was also the 250th birthday of the army, and it was also Flag Day. So he was like trying.
Yeah, exactly. It's like. I see what you're doing. I see what you did, you know, but it's just the fact that all these, it's just, he's pulling resources. It's like, this costs a lot of money, to put this on. And then not only that, it's like, well, if you're paying for this, you have to be pulling from something else, you know, and that's what resources are you dipping from to support this little birthday shenanigan and things like that. And I am all, and let me throw that out there, I am all for supporting the military. My opinion about this is the timing of the action, and because of that, it's like, we got a lot going on. Hi, we arguing about groceries. How you got this parade? Where are you pulling the money from, sir? Like, we struggling. If this is what you're doing, like, no, we could have sent you an email click or something, you know, with a graphic of a birthday, if you needed something that bad, my gosh. But it's just crazy again that we have these individuals in these positions of power to make these decisions that not just for us, but for all of us. And because of that, a lot of people left their house to advocate about how a No King's Day, basically. It was a protest all over, and people were just coming out to support that we don't need a king. We should not be celebrating your birthday. Even past kings, I feel, not past kings, but past presidents, they probably make a social media post, you know, and we just go like it, but they ain't sitting there with the whole parade. Like, what? You are accepting planes from other countries. Now you got us a whole parade that don't really align with what our country is. Like, this is crazy. And I just feel like the timing of it, the message of it, the perception of it, like, it's crazy that this is even happening. And a lot, and I want to commend everybody that did come out. I just feel like, me personally, it's hard to come out nowadays because the world is just so backwards. The world is upside down. The world morals have just altered so much that it's just like, even protesting is like, you really have to second guess to do that. Like, yep. Getting involved, making, even protesting, not even physically there. Like, when M said the previous stories, these people were in their house. Like, your house is your safe space. Your house is where you unwind. Your house is where you regroup. It's before we had, it was a thing to just be able to make it home, you know, leave your house and come back. But now you can't even just be in your home and feel safe. Like, this is the world that we're living in. And that's why I feel like we have to be very specific about the message and what we're talking about, because we need y'all to tune in. We need y'all to hear. Like, this is live, and we need to stick together to make sure that everyone knows this is not good. This is not good at all.
Yeah. And, you know, to that point, Minnesota called off all of their No King's Day rallies because this man was still on the loose. And to Kirsten's point, I didn't think he was going to be in the same area. I thought he was going to be anywhere else. So they were like, for the safety of everybody, we're not going to do any events in Minnesota. And wouldn't you know, 80,000 people still showed up in the state of Minnesota. And that, to me, shows so much courage, but also the true American spirit. I'm not somebody who's like, and I'm proud to be an American. Like, that's not, like, yes, but no.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how else do you sum that up, right? Of like, there are some moments in American history, right? Like, when George Bush threw out the first pitch after 9/11 at the Yankees game in the World Series, like, there are things that just capture the American spirit and are things that people need to hold on to believe that they're still good in the world. And 80,000 people showing up in Minnesota, despite the fact that there was an assassin still on the loose, was one of those things for me. But I also, something you said, Erica, about, like, I used to be a huge protester. That was like my act of civil disobedience. That was
I organized that.
That was my way of getting involved. And it's just not anymore for so many reasons. But I want to applaud everybody who came out for the first time. We know there were people who came out on walkers. Like, they were like, this is my patriotic duty to my country right now. And we saw that. And I want to challenge everybody who's listening, who went to a protest, to now say, and now what? Because it was not just one No King's Day. It is No King's every day until that man is out of office.
Absolutely.
So what are you doing each and every day from here on out to bring that same energy? Are you writing a letter to the editor in your local newspaper about an issue that's important? Are you showing up to your school board meetings? Are you finding people to fill vacancies on your boards and commissions? Are you voting in every single election? I was just about
to say, are y'all registered to vote? Like, can we start there?
Are you voting on town council, on county council, or school board? Like, are you going all the way down your ballot each and every time you have the opportunity to vote? That's the energy that I really want to see. It's great that millions of people showed up on Saturday across our country, but like, now I need millions of people to keep going in the right direction.
Yeah, what I really loved, the Greenville County Democratic Party was out at our No King's Day, like, talking to people in the crowd and being like, hey, want to sign up for our volunteer list, our mailing list? like making those connections so that, okay, let's not let this end here, because it definitely was such a silver lining to see how many people showed up at all of these protests. It was really cool. Even on like the Rachel Maddow show last night, I think they featured like Greenville, South Carolina, and showed all of the people. I mean, like a modest estimate is that there was about 5,000 people there in Greenville, South Carolina. That is insane. But so wonderful. And like, even in other areas, like one of my friends in Michigan lives in a very MAGA area. And she was like, yeah, there's a No King's Day protest here in our city. And I was like, really? I'm like, I expect that to have one in Detroit, but not in that like smaller city. So it was really heartening to see. But yeah, I definitely agree that it's like, what do we do with that?
I'm wondering how many people how many people in those crowds was actually like registered to vote? How many people in those crowds had maybe voted for Trump and now are like, okay, like this ain't what I signed up for. Yeah. And like, how many people wasn't even registered? You know what I'm saying? Cause it was a lot of people. I mean, it was a lot of people all over. And I was like, my gosh, like we needed that energy like last year. Like what in the world, you know?
Yeah, where was that in November?
Yeah.
Like, I did see in Colombia they were registering people to vote at the, like they had
okay, a Colombia, right.
No King's Day. So I was like, okay, that's good.
Right. Oh, let's keep that momentum. I hope that people remember these moments because it hasn't even been like a year. Like this is like, we're still barely into this term. We have a long way to go.
Girl, he's literally not even been in office 5 full months.
Right. It is so much has happened. We have a long way to go. Like stop forcing this man on us. like I'm over it.
We're done with him.
But speaking of terrible men, we're going to segue into, so that was June 14th. So within a couple days on June 17th, another incident, terrible, terrible incident happened right here in Charleston at the Mother Emmanuel AME church shooting. It just happened to be the 10th anniversary. So there was an individual, Dylan Ruth. He showed up at this church where there was 9 people inside attending Bible study and stuff like that. From my understanding, they actually invited him in to pray over him, you know, and then this terrible incident, he just shot them all. And it still is like, you know, a heavy topic.
It's so raw. It's so raw.
Yeah, it's like, it feels like it was yesterday. It was just, again, those moments where you know, like, where you was, like, when you heard something like that, because it was just like, what? Like, wait, what? I know we all probably kept saying that over and over again. Like, what? No, what happens? It's one more time. You know, like, that's just crazy to process. And then when someone says it and then you're receiving it, you're like, I can't even believe that just came out your mouth. Like, what? But unfortunately, again, this is what the kind of place that we're in. This is, it's like, it's just mind blowing that, again, we all have 24 hours and this is what people are choosing to do with theirs. It's like, it's very, very sad. And I wasn't living in Charleston at the time. I was back home, but I did have a job where it was adjacent to the church. So every time I would go, you know, in and out of the place, I would just visually see the church, and it was just a constant reminder, like, oh my gosh, something terrible happened there. Like, this is like the actual place, and it's like, man, and it affected so many people. Even though only, you know, 9 people died, it affected such a bigger spectrum of just, we all felt like wrong is wrong is right and right is right. Like, this is a terrible thing and it doesn't make any sense. And then the fact that the victims, the families of the victims, they actually decided to forgive him. Like, it's that, you know, they forgave him and they just process it. And it's just like, man, it's just, again, places you think are supposed to be like a safe space, people are just like taking even advantage of that. It's like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And it's like, we can't, we can't be built off fear and power. You know, it's like, no, we have to be able to freely say what we want to say without there being some kind of terrible ending to it. Just because we have an opinion, just because we want to say the opinion, just because we want to act on how we feel our morals and values align. And it's like, it's just a terrible thing that I just obviously wish didn't happen. And it's like, we remember them so that we remember how we felt, and then, you know, also remember the individuals, but then make sure that we're telling these stories and not having it forgotten, because these were people, you know, they had a family, they were loved and stuff. So it's like, we have to continue talking about this, because also, fun fact, South Carolina still don't have a hate crime. You know, that's still not even an existing thing, even though such acts were 1,000% a hate crime. And it's like, we have to continue, as tiring as it is about being involved, as tiring as it is as constantly repeating ourselves, as tired as it is working for people who don't even work for themselves, you know, we have to continue to be active, and not just active, proactive, getting involved, sharing the stories, sharing the names, sharing how these, you know, incidents resonated with us. But I feel like I'm on my high horse taking over, but I'm sorry. That was just like, I just want to share that. But that was, again, something else that has happened in, you know, in this country.
Yeah, and one thing that really, like, resonates with me always about that is, as a Christian myself, just, like, the true Christianity that all of those church members that were killed showed to Dylan Roof before, and then that their family showed after. Because, yeah, they welcomed him into Bible study. And, like, he was definitely, you know, obviously an outsider. It's a room full of all Black people. And here comes a white guy. And they were so welcoming to him. And,
you know. Prayed over him.
Just prayed over him.
Prayed over him.
I mean, true Christian heart. And then afterwards, you know, God calls us to forgive. And so that's what they did. And I'm sure that that was incredibly difficult, but their faith said, this is what we're supposed to do. And to be able to do that and be attacked because of the color of your skin.
Nothing.
They didn't do anything. It wasn't him disagreeing with them in any way, other than the fact
that
he... They
were so kind and loving to him. And they didn't have to be, you know,
yeah.
I mean, an outsider comes in, you know, you might be a little afraid, you know, your first instinct for a lot of people is not to show that kind of, like, love and welcoming and just, but it was for them. And those are the people that you want to kill, people that loved on you.
I just have to feel like there's a reason. One of Joe Biden's final things that he did as president was he commuted a bunch of people on the federal death row. And Dylan Roof was, I think, one of three people whose sentences did not get commuted from the death penalty. And I just think that, like, that says so much, because Joe Biden is such a Christian man. And I'm sure Jim Clyburn, and I'm sure families of the victims told him, you know, like, we have come to this place of forgiveness, you know, and he still was like, not going to be able to do that. And, you know, I didn't live in South Carolina 10 years ago, but I still remember exactly where I was. And my first thought was that my dad is a clergyman. And all he has ever done to anybody who's walked into our building is welcome them with open arms.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just like, how is this where we're at? How is this where we're at that people are just walking into places that they have no business being in, being welcomed, even though they have no business being welcomed? And it just makes you, like, want to not have a warm heart. Like, it's easy to harden your heart with a story like
Absolutely.
What happened at Mother Emanuel. And I know, like, for me, when I was campaigning, we have a handful of historic Black churches in Bluffton, and it was very important for me to go in there. But then I also realized, like, I'm a strange white person walking into your building that you probably haven't ever seen or heard of before. And so, like, how do I make it abundantly clear that I am here with good intention? Mm-hmm. And that is such a terrible thing to have to even have a thought in your mind of. I don't know if any of them had a red flag about me. I wouldn't blame them if they did, but like, I was certainly on high alert about it. Like, because that is exactly what happened. Somebody you never saw before walked in to pray with you. And, you know, being here now for the last 5 years and getting to know the stories of the victims and people who knew them personally and had very close connections, and seeing people's honest, raw reflections on social media about what they remember from that day and their, you know, their personal stories. It makes it all different. But I will tell you, 10 years ago, I didn't even know South Carolina had a female governor. That's the day I learned who Nikki Haley was. Like, I didn't know. And now mm-hmm. It's just like, truly becomes part of you. And I don't know if that's because I'm in the low country or if that's like a thing statewide. But like, you can't have a conversation about the city of Charleston without also mentioning Mother Emanuel. You can't have a conversation about the state legislature without talking about Reverend Pinckney, because he was a state senator. And that's what led Margie Bright Matthews as a senator, because she filled his vacancy after his assassination. And so, you know, it's something that is just always somehow front of mind. And it's still so wrong, like you said, Erica, as if it happened yesterday, because it was just so personal. South Carolina has this very weird small town feel, even if it's not a small town. And even if it's something that happened statewide. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those things that it's like, you knew somebody who knew somebody, you know, mm-hmm. type of thing. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I feel like, I believe it was Dylan Roof who the officer went and took him
to get McDonald's.
McDonald's. Okay, so it was him. It's like the more layers to the insult, it's like they continue to like dehumanize us, you know, and it's like the nasty, nice kind of way. Because it's like, what you doing in a drive-thru after this man like did a drive-thru? Like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you, the audacity that you think this man needs a cheeseburger and a bun. Like, if you don't get No. Park the car. Let him out. Like, what? Like, the audacity of people's thought process. And again, we all have the same 24 hours, but the things that people are doing with theirs is crazy.
That's the theme of this episode. What are you doing with your 24 exactly. hours? Correct.
Right. Well, we got people who are getting snatched up off the street trying to leave the court to go get their, you know, immigration papers. And then we got police who are saying, "Hey, Dylan Roof, you want ketchup right. on that?
Right.
You want ketchup?
Right. Okay. What? Oh my gosh! Again, we have to talk about this, people, because they're trying to make it normal, and it's 1,000% not. We should not be allowing people to dehumanize us in this way, and it's belittling and it's insulting, and it's like, no, again, this is not going to be the America that we are going to be in. Like, stop it and stuff. But all right, Miss Kirsten, your turn.
All right. So, as if everything going on in our own state and country isn't enough, we also have international stuff. Tensions rising across the world. So, the big thing right now is the airstrikes that Israel launched against Iran 6 days ago. And for some time now, the United States has been negotiating with Iran to get them to stop making nuclear weapons. But negotiations have not been going well on that. And Israel has been concerned about it for some time now. And apparently felt like the time was right now to go ahead and launch airstrikes on Iran. And shockingly, the U.S. wanted to continue negotiating, and they didn't want to get involved in a conflict like this. However, that appears to be in the process of changing.
I was going to say, by the time we're done recording, yeah, it might be a different.
Like,
so true. And I listened to a podcast from the New York Times Daily today, and their reporter was saying, you know, how Trump was very hush-hush about all of the airstrikes and didn't want to act like the U.S. had any part with it, and or part of it, until it appeared things were going successfully. And then, you know, Trump had to have credit when things were successful. So now he's like, oh, yeah, the U.S., yeah, we're going to be part of this. But I'm looking at a couple of my notes here because international stuff is not always my strong point. So
while you're doing that, I want to say something. I did look on the map because I did not know where Iran and Israel, how, you know, where exactly, because
I had to do that today too. Yeah.
You know, I had to Google, and they're really close. But the fact that these missiles are even reaching Israel and doing some serious damage, like what I see on TV, it's crazy, because this has, you would think that they want to be hitting like certain targets, like, I don't know, electric companies or water, something. But these are places where people lay their head. Like, this is crazy that like these are civilians. And I'm like, what type of war is this? And then only that, here we go, America, want to get involved. Like, we got stuff we need to take care of in-house. If you don't let these people handle their own business.
Well, that's what I want to say about Israel, is like they don't have enough going on right now that they were just
that
like
was my thought. Like, okay, let's just go ahead and get involved in this too, because why not? But yeah, so at this point, the Israeli military has struck more than 1,100 targets in Iran. So, like you said, I mean, they're really going after a lot, including 8 Iranian attack helicopters at a military base and 40 missile infrastructure components. So far, all the U.S. administration is saying is that they're considering options. At one point when Trump was asked, he said that his favorite line, I have some ideas. Let's hope you do.
He does say that.
I don't trust his team at all.
I don't trust his ideas.
Yeah. So, and of course, Iran is responding to the threats from the United States, as you would expect them to. They're saying that they're not going to negotiate under military threat, and that they will retaliate if attacked.
We gotta stay out this one.
Which is a concerning thought for sure, because the U.S. has several military bases in that region.
Exactly.
That are very close, and so it's definitely something to be looking at and see where this is going to go. But just all of this Middle East conflict, when we look at like energy prices, you know, the cost of gas is going to go way up again.
Israel's huge on technology and like medication advancements too. So, yeah.
And I think it was Iran that has a lot of oil. They're charging like billions for the gallons now because of this war.
I have a lot of thoughts that I haven't fully articulated in any way, shape, or form yet. And I think I have gotten complaints from both my Jewish friends and my non-Jewish friends about the lack of public comment I have made on Israel. And I have spent 2 summers of my life in the state of Israel in the Middle East. And the second year that I was there, the second summer, while I was in college studying abroad in the summertime, missiles were being shot over and we had to spend some time in a shelter underground, which is a really unique experience. Don't really recommend it for people, but like
it wasn't on your bingo card.
No, and I didn't think that's how I was going to spend my time, but it does like shift your perspective a little bit, and it gives you an appreciation of the Iron Dome that keeps Israel safe, because for perspective, Israel is the size of the state of New Jersey. Teeny tiny. You can drive from the northern tip to the southern tip in 3 hours. But there comes a point where your alliance, you can have an alliance with somebody like we have with Israel and still call them out on their bullshit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I feel as if that hasn't happened. And believing that the state of Israel has a right to exist is different than holding on to the notion that Israel has the right to attack anyone at any time with any means necessary and taking civilians out. And it also doesn't mean that I have to agree with the government in Israel, just like I don't have to agree with the government here in America. Benjamin Netanyahu has consistently been somebody since I spent time in that shelter below ground. I was like, I'm not going back to Israel as long as that man is in charge. He's a hot mess. And yet he's still in charge. And part of me is like, he thrives on this chaos, not dissimilarly to Donald Trump, but it keeps him in power, right? People aren't going to like shake up their leadership while they're in war. No matter how many votes of non-confidence he's gotten from his country. But I mean, like, you can have an alliance and still call out on your bullshit. You can have an alliance and say, we've given you all we're going to give you, and we're not going to give you any more because you're not using it appropriately, right? Like, we don't like, I need evidence, and I don't have it. And granted, I'm not a foreign affairs scholar, but I would like to think I'm knowledgeable enough. I need to see evidence that you are genuinely trying in good faith to only attack what needs to be attacked to achieve your goal. Like, this civilian shit, this, like, I'm blowing up a hospital and babies are like, that's not okay. And it's not America's job to save everybody else when we can't even save ourselves. And I get the whole humanitarian crisis. Like, I would love for more aid to be going into Gaza. I would love, like, all of it. All of this to me is all wrapped up in one issue. But there's so many layers to it, and people have a very difficult time discussing it in a non-emotional way, which is why I haven't even attempted until now to do so, because there are people in my life who feel very strongly on both sides of this issue. That it's just like, nothing I'm going to say is going to change either of your minds. So I'm just not even going to talk about it. But I do feel like I have a unique perspective on the issue, that it's like, it's almost like embarrassing as a Jewish American, like when Israel makes the headlines for like blowing up another hospital or killing another 500 civilians or whatever, like I want to be like, had nothing to do with that. Don't agree with it. Don't come for me. So that's not really like a policy stance. It's just my general thoughts, feelings, and rantings. So thanks for letting me get that off my chest, because I hadn't done that before.
I'm glad you were able to, because it is, you know, it is a complicated issue. And as a Christian, you know, it comes with complicated feelings for me, so I get it. And Justin and I have debates about it all the time.
So. No, I literally don't talk to anybody about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try not to very much, but you know, when you're
married, I looked up on the map, Israel is tiny compared to Iran, so the fact that Israel is even like acting like it's a 7-7-2 person, you know, like, this is crazy. I'm like, no, man,
they have the strongest military in the world, because if they didn't, they would not exist as a country. Like,
I believe it. And I was just like, man, that place is tiny compared to, you know, Iran. But my gosh, Israel is
also, whether the United States will come out publicly and say anything right now, at the very least, they're getting intelligence collaboration from the United States. So even if it's not a huge military presence, they're getting something for this conflict from the United States.
Can I just say too, and then I'm going to leave this alone, and I will let y'all carry it. But this just isn't sitting right in my heart, because I know Lindsey Graham specifically. These Republicans want to come out and be like so pro-Israel and like Israel or bust, right? But then I'm like, but what are you doing for Jewish Americans in your own country that you represent? Like, Lindsey Graham, what have you done for me? as a Jewish constituent of yours, but yet you're going to get on your high horse and be like, Israel or die. Like, how's that supposed to make me feel? Like, you're not doing anything to help me, but you're like, that is just one of my many frustrations with this whole thing.
And they actually stand behind the people who are
harming the Jewish community. Yeah. But you're like, Israel or bust. And I'm like,
again, that hypocritical component.
It doesn't add up
like
for me.
Like Freedom Caucus and distributing child pornography. Like,
so many hypocrites, really, man.
Match, but
yeah, I'm with you.
One is not like the other.
It's the same. And it makes you feel terrible. But I mean, Lindsey Graham makes all of us feel terrible in so many ways. So, you know, here's to a strong Senate campaigns ramping up. So it's exciting. So one more piece of international stuff going on. Trump and his travel bans, he loves these, has strong feelings about it. So a memo has been released showing that the that the State Department has identified 36 countries of concern that could have either full or partial suspension of entry to the United States if they don't meet certain criteria, or what they're calling benchmarks and regulations. So among the concerns that the State Department has said are from amongst these 36 countries, is that they have a lack of competent or cooperative government, the lack of a competent or cooperative government by some of the countries mentioned to produce reliable identity documents. Another was questionable security of each country's passport. And then also the cooperation of some of these countries to facilitate the removal of its nationals from the United States who were ordered to be removed. So the vast majority of these 36 countries are in Africa. There are I have a list of the countries. Here we go. Like I said, the vast majority are in Africa, like Ghana, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Nigeria, obviously plenty more, South Sudan, but then you also have Egypt on there. Mm-hmm. This was an interesting one to me, St. Kitts and St. Lucia.
That's the Bahamas. He's trying to can't go to the islands, and everybody go to the islands. So, like, stop it. That's everybody's quick weekend trip.
Yeah. And so, like, this is expanding a ban that already went into effect earlier this month. And that was, there were 12 countries in that ban. So, like, Afghanistan, Chad, Haiti, like, Cuba was on there.
You got any majority white countries on that?
Exactly.
List?
Nope.
No. Can't find a name. Yeah.
And he doesn't own any property in any of those countries either.
No, because God forbid, you know. And, you know, all of this is amongst declining tourism to the United States. Also, another thing that I read about today that I thought was really interesting, was medical residents from other countries that may not be permitted to come into the United States. That's going to affect our country big time, because about 1 in 5 medical residents comes from another country. So if you're not letting people in, then our physician shortage is only going to continue to get worse. So it's like Trump has always wanted to, you know, build the wall, and now he's working on building the wall around all borders.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, again, and it goes back to, you know, when you're talking about the Minnesota assassinations, it's like creating this fear of other people that they are the problem. So don't look at us, because obviously these people are a problem, because we're not going to let them in because they're a problem. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
And we can outsource our people to other countries. We can put them on airplanes and send them to El Salvador or was it Ethiopia? It was an African country. Like, I'm like, so we can just send people away from us, but other, like, that's not a two-way street.
Right, bring them in. No.
Yeah.
And
then he choose, man, Trump picks and chooses, because I know he just lets some South Africans in here. Like, you know, like, but yeah, here we go. We can't go to Egypt.
White South African.
Block it, right? Exactly. But yet, we can't go to Egypt. We can't go to Africa. We can't go to the Bahamas. My gosh, Trump just wants us to go to the mailbox and back, okay? And the mailbox has to be white. Like, that's it. He is picking and choosing, like, where we can go. And this affects us, because I actually was planning a trip to Egypt, and then I saw this article. That's why I wanted to talk about it and stuff, because I'm like, what in the world? I feel like if he keeps banning these people from, they're going to ban us. Like, we're going to be the ones who can't go out the country and visit Greece, visit Rome, visit Africa. They'd be like, well, no, they're going to be saying no to us too. So I feel like,
and
again,
I can't blame them. I mean, you know.
Right.
Except
it's just crazy.
They're smart, and they don't want to ban us because they want the tourism dollars, like we should also want. I mean, you know, like with our strained relations with Canada now, tourism mm-hmm. has gone down from there, and that is a huge.
I just want to be like, how did we get here? Like, how is this everything we just talked about? Like, how is this real life?
Mm-hmm. It started in November. Well, actually,
it actually started 9 years ago when this guy came down an elevator in New York City. Yeah.
Like, again, this is crazy that this is where we are in 2025. Like, and I feel like one thing that I really do enjoy about our podcast is that we don't even plan for this stuff, really. We, like, check in, like, what, 24 hours before we go live and then discuss it? But there is no actual planning, because we don't need to create the material. Like, the material comes to us. And I feel like I'm glad that we chose to do our podcast the way that we do, because this is really what fills us up. This is our personality, because we all collectively have, even though we're all from different backgrounds, different shapes, sizes, and all of that, but there's one thing that we can't agree on is, again, wrong is wrong and right is right. And
we'd be having this conversation in our group chat anyway.
Do.
So now we just bring it to a wider audience.
Exactly. And I do want to point out real quick, because I want to say something about the Minnesota assassin before I forget, because I've been thinking about this three times now. So I do want to say, I think it's just mind-blowing that they gave this man bond. But then you got people like Diddy, and not saying Diddy is right or wrong, whatever, but he didn't even get the bond. But it's like, this man shot people, premeditated. He had a plan. He put gas in his car, got in it, turned it on.
And all those passports in the wife's car. Like,
yeah. And then you offered, but he was eligible for a bond, but then you got Diddy.
I didn't know that.
Y'all didn't even, he's still undergoing his case, and you didn't even give that to him. But I'm only saying this because I feel like, again, the hypocrisy. He should have never, just like Dylan Roof, had something that was not entitled or deserving for him. Like, it's crazy that in America that this is what we are doing and how
our
we're acting.
Justice system is.
Right. It's crazy. He should have gotten nothing, not even a tissue. How to, like, get your ass in that cell and you sit. You think about your actions. That's all he should have gotten. But sorry, Chris, I done took over your hot topic. My bad, girl. My bad, boo.
You didn't take it? What? No.
Yeah. It's just crazy.
I'm done with the travel ban. I think We've said what we needed to say, and
I think as we are all coming to an end, because this one was a lot, y'all. This one was like, and we've only been talking about it for an hour. I can only imagine like what all people are going through and how they are processing it still, even though, again, Mother Emanuel, that was 10 years ago, but we still feel the effects as if it happened yesterday and stuff. And I just want to just remind people again, if you learned anything or heard me about anything, just know we all have 24 hours.
Go get yourself your beverage of choice, coffee, Diet Coke. Unwind after this one, because that was a lot.
This was a lot.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it a little more lighthearted next
time. Yes.
If we can, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
Hopefully as long as the world's not blowing
exactly.
up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, hopefully it gives us some moments of
exactly. Yeah, so, give joy. Us some other type of material to talk about. Like, you know?
Listen, there's literally so much we didn't even talk about.
That Absolutely. Part. Right. We had a list of options. We narrowed it down for y'all. You know, we was like, let's
what are you still talking dying about? To talk about global warming with how hot it mm-hmm. is. So,
mm-hmm. but
barely making it.
Thank you guys. If you have lasted this time all the way up until the end of this episode, we really appreciate you. Listen, we really appreciate you. Like, oh my gosh. But nonetheless, thank you guys again for tuning in. Until next time. See ya.
Bye.
This is Kirsten Pruitt. Please subscribe to the show wherever you find podcasts and consider leaving us a rating. You can find links to our social media and YouTube page in the show notes. Thanks again for listening.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.